that it was new news. I said that I have good news. I have good news. Now, why am I saying that? Because, you know, we have this idea that let me just get right into it. I've got to be careful. I'll get off track, and we'll be here all day. And I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I know all that. See, the opposite of new news. See, you kind of assume when I say I have good news for you, that you assume that it's new news. But it's actually very old news. Now, when I say old news, we all get this image in our minds because we've used that expression. Oh, that's old news. That's, you know, ho-hum. You know, everybody knows that. And that kind of thing. But, you know, the truth is, we are exactly 40 days removed from Christmas Eve. But most of us have already gotten over the greatest news that was ever announced in the history of mankind. You know, on Christmas Eve, we read the passage of Scripture that talks about good news. And yet 40 days removed from that, and we've all pretty much moved on. And if I were to say to you in an email, hey, I want you to come out, we're going to talk about the pronouncement that the angels made to the shepherds about the good news, you'd say, okay, big deal. That's old news. Can I remind you of what they said? Look at Luke chapter number 2. We find here verse number 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you," say it with me, "good news." Good news. I have good news for you today. I didn't say it was new news. I said it was good news. It's good news. See, when we talk, you know, when we think about news, and we think about good news in particular, you know, or this in particular, in fact, let's just take a look at really what they said. The angel said to these shepherds, they said, "We have good news for you." And they said, "This good news will actually bring you great joy." And give me the next thing. "This good news will actually bring you great joy." Now, you know, in the shepherd's life, remember these shepherds were out in the fields, and these angels suddenly appeared to them. And I know it's a Christmas story, but you know what? It's okay to talk about a Christmas story in January, is it not? Amen. Would it be okay if we sang an Easter song in July? Would that bother you? No, those are all stories that are all relevant to our lives. But the point is, the angel said to these shepherds, "We're bringing you good news. Good news that will bring you great joy." Now, it did bring them great joy, and it's a shame that great joy did not spread to all the people who got that news. But here's the most remarkable thing that of all that they said. When they said, "We're going to bring you good news that will bring you great joy," then they finished it with this: "to all people." Now, you say, "Well, okay, so what's the big deal?" See, as I'm bringing this all to you, we've heard this so many times that, hey, am I right? For most of us, this is just ho-hum now, isn't it? And we forget how significant this really is. You see, these shepherds probably understood better than any other of the people of Israel what a significant story this was. But can I remind you that had Jesus, or do we have to be reminded that had Jesus not come, had this announcement not included that last line right there, "to all people," do you know who we would be? We would be no different from the Philistines. Do you know who the Philistines were? Or the Amalekites? Or the Moabites? Or the Jebusites? Or the Hivites? Or any of those other ites? Do you know what happened? Do we have to be reminded of what happened to them? You see, they were all people. Had Jesus not come and had this announcement not been good news to all people, if it had only been good news to the Jews, if it had only been good news to the people who at that time were God's people, we would all still be on the outside looking in. Are you with me? So watch. So what was good news to them was great news to us. I mean, great news. You see, Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, prior to Jesus coming, there was a middle wall of partition between us and the Jews, between us and God's people. We are all Gentiles, I believe. I don't, unless there's a Jew in the room that I don't know about, and if you are still God's people, by the way, and they are still God's people, and all that. But the only way, but if you go back to that time, think about what it was like to be a Philistine or a Amalekite or one of those nations that was not a part of Israel. They were the enemies of God, and the only way they could ever have any blessings, in fact, the only way they could have any safety, went back to a promise that God made to Abraham 1,000 years earlier when he said, I will bless those who bless you. You see, the only way that somebody who was not a Jew could have any hope of anything positive in the world was if they were happened to find out that God's people would be, that if they blessed God's people, that God would then bless them. Are you with me? You see, to be outside of that meant there was no relationship with God. The Philistines had no relationship with God. All those people groups in the Old Testament that we read about, all those enemies of God's people, you see, you want to know why they were enemies of God's people? Because they didn't know God. And they didn't know if they were friends to Israel that God would bless them. And so they just saw Israel as an enemy, and that was to their own doom. And so my point is, had Jesus not come, folks, that's who we would be. Had Jesus not come and made this, and had the angels not come and said, I have good news for you, which shall be bring you great joy to all people, we would be of all people, as the Bible says, most miserable. So the point is, do we have to be reminded that we are a greatly blessed people? What was good news to them is great news to us. Are you with me so far? Now, here's the thing, though. You know, when we think about news and we think about, you know, this good news that was given, you know, last year at Easter, in fact, let me make this statement first. Last year at Easter, we had a theme that was called, Is It True? Do you remember that theme? We have T-shirts. Maybe a better question, and this may be a prelude to Easter, maybe a better question, before we get to the question of is it true, maybe what we ought to be saying is it good? Is it good? Is the news good? See, there's a funny thing that happens to us, that good news, when we hear good news, do you know what that should do to most of us, or all of us? We should want it to be true. Are you with me? If we hear good news, we should want that news to be true. You see, not all true news is good, is it? Not some news we get, if it's not true, we ought to want it to be true. You know, whenever we hear it, if it's good, we should want it to be true. You know, maybe we need to take a step back and try to look at our world. And I wonder sometimes if the reason that so much of our world has not come to Jesus, you know, much of our unchurched friends, and this is what we've been talking about, our unchurched friends and the people we're trying to reach, the reason that they maybe don't want to have Jesus in their life, or they don't want church to be a part of their life, they don't want a church family to be a part of their life, is probably not because they don't believe that the news is true, the gospel is true. Maybe they just don't see the gospel as being that good. Are you with me on that? I feel like I'm losing some of you. See, there's a difference between news that's true and news being good. And so much of our world, my fear is, so much of our world is not rejecting Jesus Christ because they don't believe that it's true, the gospel is true. My fear is they just don't think it's good. Now, and we'll get into why that is. See, but there's something wrong with us when we hear good news and we don't want it to be true. Let me just, and again, we're not going to get political here or anything, but, you know, for example, if we hear news that the American economy is doing really well and that people's lives are better and that people have a little bit more money to spend and their quality of life is being a little bit, we ought to want that to be true regardless of who gets credit for it, shouldn't we? We ought to, and it shouldn't make any difference whether that's a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. It shouldn't matter whether it's Congress getting the credit for it or the president gets the credit for it or a local. If we hear something good, we should want it to be true. Shouldn't we? I'm not even getting into whether or not it is true. I'm saying we should want it to be true. When somebody turns their lives around, when somebody has a turnaround in their life, somebody that has been battling addiction, for example, and struggling with an addiction, and they're able to report that they've been able to turn that around, and they're starting to see victory in their lives, we should all celebrate that and want that to be true, should we not? Amen. Not, well, we'll see if that lasts. No, shut up. Don't do that. We should want that to be true. And we should you know, anybody who's reporting trying to do something like that. On the other hand, though, when we hear bad news, When we hear bad news, we should not want that to be true. When you hear that a Catholic priest, for example, has once again been accused of molesting a child, I don't care. You know, you may be anti-Catholic. You may have an issue with all that. But you know what? None of us should want that to be true, should we? In our hearts and in our spirits, we ought to say, I don't want that to be true. Again, not talking about whether or not it is true. When somebody's been accused of something, when your friends have been, when somebody that you know has been accused of something, or somebody that you know has had something, some kind of gossip out there, we shouldn't want that to be true, no matter how we feel about them. Do you follow me on that? But there's something wrong with our society, isn't there? Our culture has become very sick. Our culture, we base our desire for news to be true, not based on whether or not it's, we base our desire for news based on what we want to be true. Right? We all have a tendency, look, some of you are looking at me like, don't get to start messing with what I watch on TV. Look, a culture is sick when we delight in hearing negative news. When we delight in hearing that somebody has messed up. When we delight in hearing, you know, some Hollywood couple has broken up. You know, and but we should not want that to be true. We shouldn't want those kind of negative things to be true. And so I know you say, well, I don't see how this relates to what we're talking about. I'll get to that here in just a minute. But see, our culture is upside down. We like this juicy gossip. We have a tendency to gravitate toward this news that's all bad. Now, that's in our culture. I can't fix our culture. You can't fix our culture. But this is nothing new, really. 2,000 years ago, let's get back to the Bible story then. So 2,000 years ago, this same kind of thing was happening. When Jesus was born, you remember, that was good news, yes? That should have brought great joy to how many people? All people. But Herod didn't think so. Now, Herod believed it was true, but he didn't see it as good. He believed it was true news. He just didn't see it as good news. And do you know what he did? He killed who knows how many babies and toddlers in a region because he wanted to stop this good news from ever playing out. See, sometimes people don't, just because news is true doesn't mean that it's good. Now, what's the point here? Well, the point is this. I think the number one reason that unchurched people don't come to Jesus is not because they don't believe that it's true. I just think they haven't seen in us that it's good. I don't think they've seen in that didn't get nearly as many much agreement as I thought it should. Look, I just don't think they see it as being that good. Now, why don't they see it as being so good? When you talk about the gospel to somebody, they may believe that Jesus was a real person. They just may look at it and say, well, I don't know why I want that in my life because my last experience with that was this and this and this, and I'm not even going to get into all that stuff. They may have had a bad experience, the judgmentalism maybe, or the fighting. Look, do you realize what it does to an unbelieving world when we say, hey, we got this great news. We have a Savior that died to save us from our sins, but not just that. He wants to be a part of our lives today. He wants to make your life so much better. And I suspect some of them are saying, well, then why are you always fighting with some other church member or some other Christian on your Facebook page? Why are you always posting all this negative stuff about all these things that you don't believe? You know, they're asking the question, why do churches fight with other churches? Why denominations fight with each other and all that? Do you see what I mean? The world is watching us. The world is watching, and they're not even asking the question, is this gospel true? They're asking the question first, why would I want it? Because it doesn't seem good. I believe we have to first show people once again that the gospel is good before they even care whether or not it's true. Because when people get good news, then they have a tendency to want it to be true. But when they see it as bad news, they have a tendency to not want it to be true. And I think that some of the, you know, there's a very small segment of our world that is what we would call atheists. Remember when we talked a few weeks ago about the the unchurched groups, the disbelievers and all that. The disbelievers, we would call them atheists. Do you know that's such a small minority of people? But again, I believe that for the most part, people who would call themselves atheists or say they don't really believe in God, I think part of the reason is because they don't see it as good. So if they don't see it as good, why would they want it to be true? Right? So can we get back to good news? Can we get back to it being good news? Can we get back to this original message that the angels gave to the shepherds? Remember, the angels came to the shepherds and they said what? I've got still up there. They said, man, I've got to tell you something. God sent us in the middle of the night to light up the sky and to say to you, we have good news that will bring you great joy. And it's for all people. And we need to get back to that message. And so the message continued then. So these angels are talking about this. And so here's how they said that's going to happen. Now watch, here's the crux of the message. And believe it or not, I'm almost done, Kizzy. So stay awake. So they continued the message. They said, here's how this is going to happen. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now watch this, glory to God in the highest. How do we do that? And on earth, peace. Would you look at the next two words? Goodwill toward men. This was not saying that God is going to have goodwill toward men. God already proved he had goodwill toward men. Look, we don't have to look and see whether or not, we don't have to ask God to prove himself in any way, shape, or form, folks. God's already proven that he loves us, yes or no? God's already proven that he loves the world, yes or no? Yes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son and so forth. You get the idea. This is a commandment to us. He said, it's time for you to, if you want to bring glory to God in the highest, then have goodwill toward men. Have goodwill toward each other. Now, what does goodwill mean? Well, it's not just a name of a store. That's where they got it. It actually comes from the word gospel, actually. Listen, he said, I want you to have good, here's how you're going to make this happen. He said, you'll make this happen by having goodwill toward it. What does it mean to have goodwill? It means to want good things for the people of this world. It means, okay, let me give you some examples. When you're at work and one of your coworkers gets a promotion, the children of God, the followers of Jesus Christ, ought to be the first ones to run to that person and celebrate that promotion with that coworker. Your coworkers ought to see that you are happy for them. You want good things for them, not, well, I got passed over for that, I deserve that more and all that. The followers of Jesus Christ, do you trust Jesus to take care of you at work, yes or no?
Yes.
Can Jesus give you a better promotion than your boss anyway? Is Jesus ultimately responsible for you if you follow him, yes or no?
Yes.
Sure he is. You know, I said that the great Charles Stanley said something. I heard him say something recently. It has stuck with me, and I keep hearing it over and over again in my mind. He said, God takes full responsibility for a life fully devoted to him. Dale gave me a wonderful testimony earlier about how he prayed and in his business. And boy, God just blessed him, I mean, right then. And he gave God all the glory for it. And that's just, see, God's able to do that. God, Jesus is able to do something for you, Dale, that no amount of advertising could ever do, is it? You got an excellent reputation all over Delaware, everybody, you know, and so on. And some of your other businessmen, Keith and Billy and all that. But God's able to take care of it. You don't have to do all that stuff when God is on your side. And God says, look, all I want you to do is be happy for other people. I want you to be happy for other people. I want you to go celebrate with that coworker when something good happens to them. I want you to be there and celebrate when somebody talks about a recovery, a victory in over alcoholism or drugs or gambling or whatever the issue is, or overeating and all these things that we all struggle with something, yes? If you don't struggle with something in your life, stand up and we'll all applaud you. Sit down, Josh. Dude, seriously. Look, we ought to be happy for people. Want goodwill for people. We ought to be talking about good things, talking about goodwill for people, talking about, you know, how happy we are for people in their lives. That's what Friday night was really all about, wasn't it, Ken? Kim? It was all about just celebrating. You know, look, I got to tell you, some of you, you're going to look at me, you're going to say, Pastor, that's so silly. I just can't believe you even bring that up. You've brought it up several times before. Dawana, I love seeing you drive in that little Volkswagen Bug. No, I'm serious. You know why? It's probably been a year and a half or so we met Dawana. When we first met her, there really didn't seem to be much of anything positive in her life. Her physical health was so awful. Pain was so bad. You know, finances were so bad. So much heartache. And honestly, she didn't really have a whole lot of good things to even talk about. But I was there when she made an announcement one day. I am not going to be that person anymore. I'm going to get victory in my life. I'm taking charge of my life. I'm going to trust God to meet my needs. I'm going to trust God to do some things. And from that day forward, she has been a totally different person. Amen. And I just think that bug is a symbol, and it's a celebration of a new life. And she pulls in that thing, and boy, but you just wait. As soon as the weather gets warm, she'll have the top down on that thing. And I'm the first one to celebrate with you. Amen. And I'm so proud of you for what you've done in your life and tried to help other people. And that's how we should be. We should be that way, not just with each other. Now, here's where it gets bad, okay? We should be that way even with people we don't care for. Amen. We should still want the news to be good. And if it's bad, we should mourn with them. And by the way, let me just kind of give you something. You read the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs chapter 24, I believe it is. You'll find God actually warns his people, don't you dare take joy. If I'm judging somebody who's your enemy, don't you dare get happy about it. You've read that, right, Bill? I'm right about that, aren't I? He says, I'll take my wrath off of them and I'll put it on you. God does not want his children to be like the rest of the world and rejoice when somebody is hurting, when somebody is suffering, and when a politician makes a mistake, or when a politician is just stupid, or when I'm just stupid. You know, Kathy, you sit there so quietly the whole time, and that's when you choose to laugh. It's your wife. Yeah, he's so proud. Matt has never been more proud of his wife in his life. He is glowing back there. Hey, Kizzy, watch this. Now listen, Washington, D.C. is not going to lead the way in this. Okay? This idea of wanting good for the people around us, being happy for them, celebrating with them, whether we like them or don't like them, this idea of goodwill, there will never be peace on earth until there's goodwill toward men. That's a fact. But Washington, D.C. is not going to lead the way in this. And guess what? It's not their job to. It is not a politician's job to lead the way in the things that God tells us to do. That is our job. That's our job. The children of God, the followers of Jesus Christ, should be the kindest. And look, please know, I know I am nowhere close to a good example in this. I get that. I'm just telling you how it should be. We should be the kindest, most patient, most positive people, happy for the people around us, mourning when someone gets hurt. Let me ask you a question. If you found out today, if the news was that a mosque containing a whole bunch of Muslims was bombed and a bunch of people died, would you be happy about that? But there are some Christians who would be. There are some Christians who would be. And that, in God's eyes, is a terrible thing. I don't care what group it is you think is more sinful than the group you're in. You know, I know we're all the other groups are way worse than ours, right? God does not want us to be happy for anybody who's suffering. No matter what their views are, no matter what their politics are, no matter what their lifestyle's like, God wants us to want goodwill toward men. And he said, if you could accomplish that, if the church could do that, there'd be peace on this earth. There'd be peace on this earth. Now, we can't control what happens everywhere else, but can we control the corner we're in, brighten the corner where we are? And let's try to live in that way. Good news. It was good news, folks. It was good news. It was really, 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 really good news. So let's make sure. Thank you very much. So in all of our, that was apparently the best thing I've done all day. So, except for this, when I say I'm done. So, see, now I forgot what I was doing and I got to start over. No. Maybe we'll, let's focus on talking about how good the news was, and let's worry later on about proving how true it was. Let's pray. Father, thank